The church is alive and well. Praise God. Well, apparently our little YouTube broadcast went down there for a second. I mean, my mom probably did something. I mean, she's like having a day. Like, I get a whole hour of my son today. I learned, yeah, like, put the phone, the watch on theater mode, or else mom is going to be texting me during the service. Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 13, Matthew 16. So quite a bit has happened up to this point in the ministry of Jesus. And it's not long before he will die for our sins. And so the disciples had been with Jesus for a while, and Jesus has taken them out into an area of somewhat isolation from the mainstream of Judaism. Yet they were in an area with a lot of variety of religions, pagan and such. Even temples that had been constructed for Caesar. And so when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do they say the Son of Man is? Who do the people say that I am?" And some of the replies were, and they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. You know what's interesting is you look at this list and all these people are dead. Even John the Baptist has passed away. You see, John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, the forerunner, the one who would go and proclaim that the Messiah had come, that John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The one who baptizes Jesus. Beheaded. And some feared or some thought that maybe Jesus was John the Baptist come back to life, or he never had died. Elijah, remember Elijah, he went up into heaven in the whirlwind of the chariot of fire. Like Malachi 4:5, it says, you know, that Elijah is going to return before the day of the Lord. And Malachi 4:5 is 3 verses away from the New Testament, just to let you know, which begins with the genealogy of Jesus Christ that takes us all the way back to Abraham and tells us that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Elijah or Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. If you'd like to study Jeremiah, just come to Sunday school. We are in the book of Jeremiah, and we are having a good time. So, Jeremiah. These are all like huge figures. No. One of the other prophets. And Jesus says, "Well, who do you say that I am. You know, Jesus asked each one of us, not just in this building, but Jesus asked everyone who's ever been or ever will be, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Are you able with the creed to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, my Lord? Well, Peter says, well, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I'm going to give you the keys to heaven. And upon this rock, I'm going to call you Peter. Upon this rock, I am going to build my church. And Hades, Jesus may have descended to hell, but Hades will not prevail. You see, the church is triumphant because the church is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We can build upon nothing else. When we build our little Lego house, we can build on nothing else than that platform. That's it. And that platform is Jesus. Simon, son of John or Jonah, blessed are you because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I want you to think about that. I will build my church. We think about the 1 Corinthians 3:11 text that's written in the little bulletin for this morning. One that's been referenced multiple times already today. That we can build on no other foundation than the foundation that's been laid, that is Jesus Christ. This is the letter to the Corinthians, the Corinthian church. Do you know how that letter starts? It's all about division. And Paul is arguing with, look, were you baptized in the name of Paul? You know, some are following Apollos, and some are following Cephas. And I don't care if we want to claim 45,000 denominations, which I do think is a little too much. We best all be built on that one foundation, Jesus Christ. The word build in this text this morning appears three times in the New Testament. One time is the parable Jesus is telling in Luke chapter 12. And it's talking about, and I can relate to this because I lost a freezer not too long ago, and I've got no more freezer space. I've got no more freezer space. And if anybody gave me anything to put in my freezer, I wouldn't. But Jesus tells this parable of this guy who is a fool. And trust me, I know I'm often a fool. And if I have all this stuff, like, what am I going to do with all this produce that's in the garden? What am I going to do with it? Because the guy, he says, I'm just going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build another one. I can go buy a new freezer to put all this produce in it, but that doesn't guarantee that I'm even going to be around when produce is ready to be harvested. You see, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Are we willing to be a worker to build the church, not just build a building? The original church, we first see the word Christian is in Acts chapter 11. Churches were in houses to start with. This own church right here, Berea Baptist Church, where did it meet? In a building to start with? No, it didn't. It met under a tree. But for hundreds of years, this church have gathered together. People have gathered together for what reason? To come together to worship God Almighty, who loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the foundation of any church. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church. You know, it's interesting is church is capitalized in the creed. Catholic is not. That word is not Catholic, like Eastern Catholic. There's so many Catholic churches out there that you probably don't even know, right? The Holy Roman Catholic Church. The Russian Catholic Church. The Oriental Catholic Church. There's a lot of them. That's why there's 45,000. There's a lot of churches out there that we don't even know about that proclaim Jesus as Lord. Catholic means universal. Universal. How do we get along? How can we be holy? How can we be holy, which means to be set apart from the world? Does doctrine divide? That still resonates in my mind. Because in many ways, it does. Yet, in many ways, it unites us. It brings us together. But if we can put aside, like, our differences of what the color of the carpet is, or, like, certain rules and regulations, like, yeah, we need rules, we need regulations. But it's hard to be one. As the Nicene Creed says, one holy Catholic apostolic church. What does apostolic mean? It means going back to the apostles, right? These are the people that were with Jesus. These are the people who are gathered together in Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. We talk about Peter. You know, what's interesting is Peter, for like a Catholic church, there's a term called apostolic succession. Apostolic succession would say that Peter is the first pope, and then we can trace all the way back to Peter. Well, don't think that you Baptists are, because there was a guy named J.M. Carroll, 1800s, who wrote this tract, and he traced us all the way back to who? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not a Baptist, okay? That's why we call him John the Baptizer, right? That's how the church gets to be 45,000, because we all want to be right. But the only way that we can be right and righteous is to be built on that foundation of Jesus Christ. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of you. Not me, not you. Only we. Not me. Built upon the foundation, Jesus Christ. The communion of saints. I love in Hebrews 12 where it says, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Gosh, there are so many weights and snares, aren't there? Because we all just want to be right. Let us lay them aside and run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who, this is the powerful part, who, for the joy that lay before him, the joy that lay before him, right, endured the cross and despised the shame, and now sits down at the right hand of God the Father. Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. What is this? It ain't Peter. You keep reading in Matthew 16, and Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem. We're going to Jerusalem. And I'm going to be betrayed by the scribes and the teachers of the law. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to crucify me. And Peter says, no way. That's a dumb plan, Jesus. You know what Jesus says? Get behind me, Satan. You know, Peter goes from the rock upon which I'll build my church to what? Get behind Satan. Now, Peter's not really Satan. But he had worldly thoughts, not heavenly thoughts. See, it's that faith, that proclamation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what the church is built on. And as Peter would write later on, and this is where we are. Peter says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. We are all ministers to one another, a holy nation, a people for his possession, God's possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had no mercy, but now you have received mercy. Church, let us not forget the foundation upon which this church was built, our hope is built, upon the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, the founder and foundation of the church. Amen.